Today, every town in America is a war town. And every hour of every day, there's a crisis in war town. Today is the 18th day at sea. A moderate breeze is ruffling a moderately breaking sea into tiny feathery whitecaps. The sky is clear. The Liberty ship SS Andrew Bloor plows her steady 9 knots through the green translucent seas, maintaining her position at the rear right-hand corner of the convoy. It is such a day when men are apt to forget that they are living over 10,000 tons of bombs and high-octane gasoline, and that the beautiful ocean through which they travel is known as the Pacific War Zone.
You know, Pete, people used to pay hundreds of dollars to make a sea voyage like this.
Here you are getting paid for it, huh, Whitey? Why, it was only a week ago you were hugging the rail and cursing the Navy for putting up their recruiting poster where you could see it.
Don't remind the kid, Pete. You're liable to get him sick again.
Oh, it's all right, Second. I can take it now. You know something? I really never thought it was going to be like this. You know, you two guys are in the merchant crew, and I'm in the Navy gun crew. And yet we get along swell.
Well, whatever gave you the idea you wouldn't get along with us?
Well, you know, before I got in the Navy, I heard stories over the radio, and I saw things in a movie about how the Navy is always fighting with a merchant crew.
The guys who write them stories ought to get on a ship once in a while. They might learn something.
Yeah. Right. Say, Pete.
Huh?
How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
Ooh, inquisitive cousin.
That's all right, kid. I'm 45.
You got a family?
Wife and daughter, going on 15.
Yeah?
That's right.
You know, that's funny, Pete. Me and second mate here, we gotta be out here. But there's lots of guys like you in the Merchant Marine who don't have to. And I was just wondering, why are you out here, Pete? What made you come back to sea?
What are we carrying on this ship, Whitey?
Enough stuff to blow us sky high if we ever get so much as a smell of a torpedo.
That's right. 2,000-pound aerial demolition bombs. 2 holes full of them. Navy depth charges, drums of high-octane gasoline, medical supplies, blood plasma. Ever think of what the guys fighting on those islands can do with this stuff?
Sure, but I don't understand what...
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, what was that?
What was that?
They're dropping depth charges. Get your life jacket!
The escorts are going crazy. 3 of them are dashing for a spot just forward and to the right of the convoy. 3 towering geysers of water shoot up in rapid succession. Midships, the general alarm is ringing. The men pour out of the mess hall, run to forecastles, grab a few extra packs of cigarettes, a picture, some chewing gum, throw their arms into the life jackets on the run. On the bridge, the captain, the second, and the third mates have their glasses trained on a spot where the escorts are milling around. Then the signalman calls out,
Captain, the Commodore has just hoisted the submarine attack signal with Plan D. Execute immediately.
Thank you. Left 30 degrees.
Left 30 degrees, Captain.
The men are all at the battle stations now. Merchant and Navy gun crew. Pete and Whitey are on the number 120 on the starboard side of the foremast. Whitey is strapped in behind the gun. Pete is wearing headphones. The ready box is open with the magazines neatly laid out. They watch the sea. Let their eyes rove from the ship's side to the horizon and back again. Each crest of a wave might be the feather-white wake of a periscope. They watch and wait.
Ever see any action before, Whitey?
Uh-uh.
Scared?
Yeah.
I got butterflies in my stomach, too.
Pete, you're going to tell me why you came back to sea. How about it, huh?
Oh, yeah. I took a walk after supper one night, and I met my old friend Ringo.
Yeah?
Ringo was an old shipmate of mine when I was sailing back in the 20s. I hadn't met him or any of the other boys for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I asked him how the old crowd was. Pudd'nhead Larson, Al Burnett, Barney Green, Chris Johnson. Jaime Schwartz, Joe Nuccio. Only Pudd'nhead Larson was still sailing. All the rest were gone.
The war?
Yeah. There was a poster in back of the bar. Said experienced seaman needed. Had a picture of a guy at a wheel looked like Paddy Boylan. I asked Ringo. He said Paddy was gone too. Then I realized...
Pete.
Yeah?
Look!
Oh! Torpedo brought on starboard beam!
Torpedo brought on starboard beam!
Hard right!
Hard right!
Get that wheel of a man! Full speed ahead!
Full speed ahead, sir!
Torpedo brought on starboard quarter, sir!
Don't jump, you fool! You'll be worse off in there if she blows!
Come on, get that
glider! Leave the ladder up aboard!
3 men in the boat! Make sure the plug's in!
Lower that tie to you!
Lower that boat! Come on, lower before this thing blows!
Take another turn! Take another turn! Together now! Together!
We far enough yet?
Yeah, I guess that's enough. Four.
All right, hold it.
Enough. She's burning it, number 5.
Yeah, got us right in the stern. Probably knocked the rudder and the propeller off.
Everybody get off?
Yeah, looks that way. Couple of darn fools jumped in. Guess the other boats picked them up.
Wonder when she's going to blow.
Any minute now. Those drums of high octane are in the lower hold of number 5.
Hey, if only that wheel would have answered a little faster. Or that tin fish would have missed us. Sure.
There goes the convoy.
Those escorts are too busy to come back and take care of us.
Yeah, we should have tried the steam smothering system before we abandoned
her. Hey, with that cargo in her? Man, we're lucky we all got off. I thought we were going to blow sky high as soon as we got it.
That fire is confined to number 5. She's not spreading.
But she will. And when she does...
Boom!
They sat in the tossing boat. A wave breaking over the gunwale ever so often and soaking them through the thin clothes, and watched their ship burn, expecting at every moment to hear the terrific explosion which would mark her end.
What's she waiting for? Blow, will you? Blow!
No, easy, kiddie.
The wind's blowing that blaze astern away from number 4.
Yeah, maybe she won't blow. Yeah.
He's got a chance.
I got a wife and kid.
Hey, what are you thinking of, Pete?
That cargo. It's a shame to sit out here and wait for it to blow.
Well, what do you want
to
do, go back?
Yeah.
What, are you crazy?
If that wind holds, we can turn on the steam smothering system and put that blaze out.
Yeah, but suppose she don't hold.
What do you want, a 90-day guarantee?
Hey, it wouldn't take long to get steam up, Pete.
You're with me, second. Who else?
All right, count me in.
Okay, Whitey, who else? How about you other guys? The sooner you make up your minds, the more chance we've got. Look, fellas, I'm no hero. I'm not Spencer Tracy, and this ain't no movie. I'm 45, and I've got a wife, and I want to see her again. And a kid I want to see grow up. But there's other kids out there fighting on those islands. They need that stuff on the ship. And the sooner they get it, the sooner this war is over. The sooner we stop adding names to the list of the guys who are gone, well, what do you say?
We're with you, Pete. Stand by to give way. Give way together.
They climbed back aboard their ship, praying for the wind to keep the blaze away from the explosives in number 4. The second assistant engineer went below with the fireman to build up the steam, and Pete and the others lashed canvas over the vents of number 5 to hold it and cut it off from any circulating air. The wind was holding, but the ship itself was turning in the seas. The blaze was blowing straight out the port sides and turning in the direction of number 4.
All right, Pete, turn your steam on.
It's on!
If only the ship will stand still for a minute.
We can't make it. She's gonna blow. I tell you, she's gonna blow.
No, she's not. She's smoking. It's gonna work.
It's
we made it. We made it. We made it. This is like a nightmare.
I'll never believe I lived through it as long as I live.
No, we're not through it.
What do you mean?
I mean we're out here helpless. The rudder gone. Propeller and shaft out of commission. We're like a sitting duck. We have to wait and see who spots us first. Our ships or the Japs.
Well, we won't have to wait long, brother. Take a look starboard quarter.
Hey, a ship. Why, it's a ship.
There's a ship over there.
Hey. Can you make it out, second?
No, not yet. No, it's too far away.
You think we ought to man the 5-inch gun?
Yeah, I guess you might as well. Won't do much good against a man of war, though.
Hold it! It's blinking.
Well, what's it saying?
Yeah, you can relax, man. It's one of ours.
So the Liberty ship, the SS Andrew Bloor and its precious cargo, was saved by the men of our merchant marine and navy. Congratulations, Pete. I think if I ever went through anything like that, they'd have to wrap me up in a straitjacket for the rest of my life.
Believe you me, Mr. Jory, we were all a bunch of nervous wrecks when we finally got towed into a jungle island port. None of us could hold a knife or a fork steady in our hands or sit still for 30 seconds at a time.
You're looking fine now, Pete.
Yeah, thanks to United Seamen Service. They took us off our ship and took us over to their ship, the SS Klang. It was made over into a floating club for merchant seamen.
I've read about that.
It was wonderful. They gave us food, comfortable beds, and medical attention for the guys who needed it. We laid around on deck chairs listening to music all day, or played pool, or shuffleboard, or checkers. At night, they showed us movies. After a couple of weeks of that kind of treatment, we were able to drink a cup of coffee without spilling it all over ourselves.
What are you doing now, Pete?
I'm waiting for another ship.
Courage cannot be bought, but war-torn America will never have to go without it, as long as it has men like Pete Mayo. What can be bought, however, is the kindness, care, and rehabilitation services provided these heroes of the sea by the United Seamen Service, a member agency of the National War Fund. And the price we pay for this can never compare with the cost in life and suffering paid by the men of our merchant marine, who on the high seas are making the war towns of today the peace towns of tomorrow.